So good morning. First off, I just wanted to thank my co-authors, Dr. Bingham and Dr. Stanek from the Bureau of Epidemiology, and Valerie and Lee from the Bureau of Public Health Laboratories. Yes. Is this better? Right. So before 2014, Florida had very few chikungunya cases. From 2006 to 2013, there are only 5 imported cases, and this included 3 non-Florida residents. All these cases acquired chikungunya in either South or Southeast Asia. In December of 2013, as many of you know, the first local transmission of chikungunya virus was reported in St. Martin in the Caribbean, and since then, the virus has quickly spread throughout the Americas. It didn't take long for Florida to see its first case with travel to the Caribbean, and that happened a few months later in April of 2014. And then in June of 2014, the first local transmission of chikungunya virus was detected in South Florida. All chikungunya cases were reported and interviewed by the Florida Department of Health, and this included both Florida residents and non-residents. The Bureau of Public Health Laboratories provided free testing for both chikungunya and dengue to uninsured individuals who met our clinical criteria. The CSTA case definition for chikungunya fever was used to classify cases as either probable or confirmed. Probable cases were clinically compatible and had IgM positive lab results. Confirmed cases were clinically compatible and were either positive by PCR, culture, or plaque reduction neutralization, PRNT, or they had a 4-fold change in antibody titers in paired sera. Clinically compatible was defined as an illness characterized by fever in the absence of a more likely clinical explanation. Common symptoms included joint pain, joint swelling, and fatigue, which all could last months after infection. To determine the public health burden of chronic chikungunya symptoms, in addition to the initial interview during the acute phase, all cases were interviewed 3 months after infection, and if still symptomatic, again 6 and 12 months after infection. I will first talk about our locally acquired cases of 2014. So on June 27, 2014, the Florida Department of Health in Miami-Dade County was contacted by the Florida Poison Information Center Network about a suspect chikungunya infection in a patient with fever, joint pain, and reported recent travel to Southeast Asia. Upon further investigation, it was determined that the patient traveled to Indonesia 30 days prior to symptom onset, but that they did not leave Miami-Dade County in the 3 weeks prior to onset. The patient did remember being bitten by mosquitoes while doing yard work at her Miami home. The Bureau of Public Health Laboratories and the CDC performed confirmatory testing. The patient tested PCR, IgM, and PRNT positive, and she developed IgG antibodies in a convalescent sample. This confirmed that the patient did actually acquire chikungunya in Miami-Dade and was not experiencing a relapse from a previous infection in Indonesia. And with that, this patient became the first locally acquired case of chikungunya in the continental United States. Unfortunately, she was not the last. In total, there were 12 locally acquired cases in Florida between June and August of 2014. As you can see on the map, the 12 cases occurred in 4 South Florida counties, 2 cases in Miami-Dade, 1 case in Broward, 5 cases in Palm Beach, and 4 cases in St. Lucie County. We were not able to identify the source for any of our locally acquired cases. However, 2 of the 4 cases in St. Lucie County live within 500 meters of each other. Their onsets were within 10 days of each other on July 1st and July 11th, which is within 1 incubation period. The cases appear to be linked, but we can't say for certain, especially because we don't know how the virus was introduced into the community. St. Lucie only had 1 imported case with a previous onset in May, which was 2 months earlier, so this is unlikely to be the source. As you might imagine, chikungunya garnered a lot of media attention at the time, and that turned out to be helpful for identifying additional cases. The second case in the cluster was actually self-identified after hearing about the first case on the local news. Some of the strategies we used to increase awareness of chikungunya and other mosquito-borne diseases included media coverage and press releases, reverse 911 dialing to residents near locally acquired cases, targeted mailings, and outreach to healthcare providers to aid in diagnosing and testing for chikungunya. Surveillance to identify additional cases included cluster investigations around the index patients' residence, enhanced syndromic surveillance of hospital visit data, and individual medical record review at selected hospitals. We were able to identify two additional imported cases through these enhanced surveillance efforts. Cluster investigations were performed in three of the four counties with locally acquired cases. Depending on the county, investigation teams visited residents living within 50 to 100 meters around the locally acquired cases residents to offer testing for chikungunya, provide prevention messaging, and conduct environmental assessments. The first investigations offered testing to both symptomatic and asymptomatic residents, but later investigations switched to only offering testing for those experiencing a recent febrile illness to save on resources and time. The investigations team varied, but they generally consisted of an interviewer or epidemiologist, a phlebotomist, a translator, an environmental specialist or mosquito control staff member. In total, 16 samples were collected from two symptomatic and 14 asymptomatic patients. All samples tested negative for both chikungunya and dengue. Mosquito control plays a very important role in controlling and preventing the spread of arboviruses like chikungunya. There are 61 mosquito control districts in Florida, which works out to be slightly less than one per county. Our county health departments have a strong working relationship with mosquito control in their area. In order to be most effective, mosquito control staff are deployed on suspicion of mosquito-borne disease rather than waiting for a positive laboratory result. Mosquito control was contacted for 90% of our chikungunya cases in 2014. And for 67% of these cases, they were notified before or within one day of county health department notification. All 12 locally acquired cases were laboratory confirmed and all were Florida residents. The average age was 45 years, which is slightly younger than the average age of imported cases. 42% were hospitalized, 75% were female, 82% were white, and 91% were non-Hispanic. All of these characteristics were more common in locally acquired cases than in imported cases, as I'll soon discuss. So now for the imported cases of 2014. In total, there were 508 imported cases with onset in 2014. As you can see on the map, the highest number of cases was reported in South and Central Florida, with the two highest counties, Miami-Dade and Broward, reporting 102 and 98 infections, respectively. Three South Florida counties with locally acquired cases, Broward, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade, reported almost half of all imported cases. Our imported cases mainly came from four countries. 25% of cases were from Puerto Rico, 22% were from Haiti, 19% were from the Dominican Republic, and 15% were from Jamaica. Overall, 99% of our imported cases for 2014 were from somewhere in the Americas. As you can see in the epi-curve, when you plot cases by week of onset, there's a clear pattern formed by country of origin that corresponds to chikungunya spread throughout the Caribbean. At the beginning of the summer, imported cases came from Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and then switched to Puerto Rico and Jamaica by the fall. Florida's 508 imported cases included 35 non-residents, 29 of which were from other countries or territories. Less than half of cases were confirmed, and 60% were female. In terms of race, 45% were white, 35% were black, and half were Hispanic. 32% of cases were hospitalized. One of the most important characteristics of our imported cases was that 78% traveled to visit friends and family, spending on average over 3 weeks abroad. This is important for prevention messaging, as most of these travelers are already familiar with dengue and may wrongly assume that chikungunya is similar to dengue's short-term illness. Age ranged from 0 to 98 years, with an average age of 50 years. And as you can see in the graph, primarily middle age and older adults were affected. In terms of symptoms, all but 22 had a fever or chills, the majority had joint or muscle pain, and about half presented with a rash. As I mentioned earlier, we attempted to interview all of Florida's 2014 chikungunya cases at 3, 6, and 12 months after infection to follow the chronic symptoms. 361 of 520 cases completed a three-month follow-up interview. Of those, 45% were still symptomatic at 3 months and therefore considered a chronic case. This project is still ongoing, but preliminary results show that our chronic cases are more likely to be female, 45 years or older, white, and have pre-existing joint conditions. And of those still symptomatic at 3 months, 67 were still symptomatic at 6 months. So in summary, the cluster investigations conducted around locally acquired cases were great at raising awareness, but they didn't identify any additional cases. Travelers visiting friends and family and already familiar with dengue may underestimate chikungunya's potentially long-term symptoms. A large proportion of Florida's cases are still experiencing symptoms 3 and 6 months after infection. And most importantly, disease activity in the Caribbean and Americas can have a significant public health impact on Florida residents. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Catherine. Does anyone have any questions for Catherine?
Hi.
And maybe we can...
Hi, Sally Clevinsky, New York City Health Department. We also had a large number. And I was curious, you know, when we looked at our cases, about 60-70% were by remix when they were back in New York. And so we were wondering about messaging to the affected cases about staying indoors and avoiding mosquito bites, and wondering if you did the same.
We did. When we interviewed, or I should say when the counties interviewed all of the cases, prevention and encouraging the cases to stay indoors, use mosquito repellent, use air conditioning and screens, that was clearly communicated to all of them. Interestingly enough, though, there was an average of about 30 days from onset to county health department notification, so a lot of the cases were actually outside of that remit period.
Thomas Dobbs, Mississippi. What kind of mosquito surveillance did y'all do after this? And did y'all do trapping and then testing mosquitoes, looking to see if the population was affected, the Aedes aegypti primarily?
Right. We actually did not. Based off of past experiences and past outbreaks in Florida, we have not been able to identify positive mosquito pools, and so we didn't put the resources into that. But some of the mosquito control districts actually did just look for pure numbers of mosquitoes to see what was in the area at the time. They actually found a mix of both Aedes aegypti and Aedes albopictus, so both are present in Florida.
This is Johnson from Wisconsin, and I'd like to thank you for sharing the important data that you have, especially with over 500 cases of chikungunya. And I was wondering, when you test for it, did you find a high percentage of co-infection with chikungunya and dengue?
We did, actually. My colleague, Andrea Bingham, is presenting at the Latebreaker currently on the 20 co-infections of chikungunya and dengue that we've seen up through January of 2015. So, yes, there were a lot of them.
Lei Chen from Washoe County Health District in Nevada. Thank you for sharing the data. And just to have a quick question. Notice that you have the more than 50% of the imported cases have the rash. Clinical presentation. So could you just say a little bit more about the characteristics about the rash?
Yeah, it's pretty non-specific. I think sometimes it's on the hands, but not all, about half presented, but it's usually a little bit later than the fever and joint pain that the rash will appear.
Jefferson Jones from Arizona. We have similarly been having a problem where the earliest we seem to get notified of imported cases, we do have lots of aegypti around and are worried about possible locally acquired, is the delay.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always not vibrant by the time we hear about them. Have you had any success? And you said you've been telling them messages about mosquito policy incentives. How have you been able to get that time down so you're actually getting notified of cases in time to actually do something for them?
We've done a lot of outreach to our providers, but one of the things we've noticed is that, like I mentioned, most of our cases travel to visit friends and family, and they spend a long period of time overseas, and so they wait to come back to the United States before they go to the doctor. And so in a lot of those cases, we really can't do anything about that. They're not, like, in the United States waiting to go to the doctor. They're overseas. It's difficult. We've done a lot of messaging to our doctors and the high-risk groups of travelers, so...